To open your Bible, if you would, to Jeremiah and chapter 22. Jeremiah is a helpful study in a lot of ways in these days. Now, in order to capitalize on the chapter 22, etc., if you would just think, if you can, try it. Going back in human history and all of the nations that exist no more. And all the nations that are will cease to exist. And, you didn't get that one, take it a different way. All the humans that ever lived are gone. And the humans that are here are going. True? Thirdly, here we are in Jeremiah. You're looking at the nations, Nebuchadnezzar, etc. Babylon is going to go, even though it's doing what it's doing. Israel, the nations, and even Israel, who was given such a prized, privileged position. That's going back in the days of Jeremiah. And all you got to do is look across the ocean, and you'll see where it is today compared to what it was. And thirdly, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you're in the thick of it. And you're able to profit from all of this. The world, nations aren't profiting. People that live and die, they don't profit much here on earth. But the believing heart ought to. And therefore, Jeremiah, and well, we'll do that, chapter 20 again. And in chapter 20, remember the close, how Jeremiah closes. And he tells you, verse 14, 20, 14 through 18. It was a very difficult time for him, wondering even why he was born. Because all human nature, human nations, all of us are on the same path. And by that I mean, if we leave God out, all we are, everyone, is in a state of death. You aren't going to die. You are dead. The absence of God, the absence of life, the absence of light, missing. You need God. He's the only creator, the only savior. But he's excluded. Now, but Jeremiah, you are capitalizing on that. You are his spokesman. You are able to understand the world that you live in back then. And you understand how to succeed and how to survive, even though you have that old nature that all of us have. And that old nature just does what it does, absolutely. I wouldn't counter it for nothing, your old nature and mine. Don't counter it. Now, how do we handle it? Now, in the light of Jeremiah chapter 22, we share together in verse 10. Weep ye not for the dead. Now, that's for Josiah we share together. Josiah, we shared last time, went and did a foolish thing, and Egyptian army killed him. He didn't have to do that, but he violated God's word. God told him by way of Pharaoh, don't mess with me. I'm on a mission of God, but Josiah just didn't do that. And so he died. And they wept, they lamented, and we shared that together last time. But what are you saying, God? You wept for your king. He was a good king. it was hard to equal that king. Of all the kings, it was hard to equal his commitment and everything. And you wept. God said, don't waste your time weeping for that king. You have something far more heavy and serious, and that is Nebuchadnezzar's going to devastate this, your cities and Jerusalem and the temple and the people. If you want to weep about something, weep about what's coming up. Now, and we shared together that, and the Jehoahaz, that's the first king, 10, 11, 12, And he only lasts 3 months, and we shared that. He's an evil king. Now, and we shared in verse 13, we have the next king, and Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim is the next king, and he is the son of Josiah, like Zedekiah. And in the process, Jehoiakim is a horrible king. And he curses the land, he curses the people in what he does and how he does it, and he curses himself, Jehoiakim. He lasts 11 years, and he's an evil king. And we shared together a little bit anyway, verse 13, 14. He built a house, he built everything, he wanted the best, everything. That he built his castle to beautify everything. He never paid people to be like the Egyptian slavery, building the pyramids. And he did evil, evil, evil. He was a bad, bad king. But he lasted 11 years. Now he's the second king. Now, and just to show you, verse 18, therefore, he only lasts, and God takes him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. They shall not lament, they shall not lament for him. Now, remember, lament for, but here's this king. Don't you bother shedding a tear for this guy. This guy is so bad. Don't even shed a tear. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament to cry out for him, saying, ah, my brother, or ah, my sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, Lord, ah, his glory. Verse 19. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, and drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. He's going to die, and they're going to drag him outside the city and leave him on the ground. Bad guy. And God and the people, he's just a bad king. Now, in the light of that, you then pick up the flavor now, knowing that Jehoiakim's a horrible king. They publicly do not honor him in any way. Now, God, you're trying to tell the people something all through these kings. Each king is evil. Each king doesn't fix anything. It gets worse. So now, in verse 20, and picking up, if I may, go to Lebanon. Now, remember now, they're going to do that in the process to Lebanon. And as they do that, you want to keep in mind, as they go, Lebanon is in the north part of Palestine. And what are you doing? We're going to go to the people that are there. God says, listen, I want you to go up and down the land and understand there's no good news. And everything is bad news. So if you go up north, here's Jerusalem down here, and we go all the way up to Lebanon, and we go up there, verse 20, go up to Lebanon and cry, it's a command, to lament, to cry out loud. Go up to Lebanon and cry and lift up thy voice in Bashan. Now, if you went, here's the northern part of Palestine. We're going to go eastward. Here's the Sea of Galilee up here. And we're going to go across the Sea of Galilee over out into the other side of the Jordan River. And that's Bashan. And what are we going to do up there? We're going to look out and cry out and lament. Now, thirdly, verse 20. And cry from the passages and cry out, same verb, cry out, lament from the passages. Now, the word passages, you're going to have to say, you have to understand the verb means to pass from one place to another. That verb becomes a noun, as it were. And the mountains of Moab, in even more particular, if you went down on the other side of the Jordan and went all the way down, and here's the Dead Sea, Jerusalem's over here, here's the Dead Sea, and you're going to go all the way down, and on that other side over there are the mountains and the mountain ranges, and the word that you have are passages, or where people pass through, or they travel, go from one place to another. Here we are, and it's a word that has to do, you'll find it without taking time, in Deuteronomy, and in chapter 32, in that 14. You'll find it, it's the mountain where Moses was given the privilege of going up to the top of it. It's 2,631 feet high. I know you want to know that. And Moses is able to see across the Jordan, across the Dead Sea, across the Jordan, to see the land. He's never going to be able to cross the Jordan. No, God took it away. And that's where Moses goes up and looks out over across the Jordan, Dead Sea, across the way up there on the mountain. And then God takes him home. And God has him die, and God buries him, and no one knows where he's buried. Because God did it. Well, God, you're very good at what you do. Absolutely. That's why you want to have a little parenthesis. Think of Ezekiel and the psalm. Precious in the sight of the Lord is what? It's the death of his saints. Precious when God takes somebody home. Precious. That's not true for the wicked, for the lost. God said, I wish it they never died, but they do. But for the believer, it's different. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, and the end of verse 20, and all thy lovers are destroyed. All thy lovers are destroyed. And they just, now what do you mean? Everyone you ever trusted, look to Egypt, they didn't. You can look to Assyria, they disappoint. Every time you're trusting something or some nation or someone to protect you, here's Babylon coming in. Maybe the Pharaoh down here south. Maybe he'll come and help us. The Assyrians, no, the Babylonians are going to get the Assyrians. Nope. God said, all your lovers, all the ones that you look to help you, that want to get you through, to make life nicer and better and everything, they're all going to disappoint you. And that's true in human life, isn't it? All our loves and all the things that we want to help us and make everything go ultimately fail. They just can't succeed. They aren't meant to succeed. We don't think of that when it's going, but all we got to do is wait, and it will disappear and be all gone. So God, here's Israel. God, you're helping The people in Jerusalem understand, by way of Jeremiah, the first king, Jehoiakim. And here we go, I'm moving down along, and in the process, go to verse 21. I spake unto thee in the prosperity, in the, thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. They didn't want to hear, no. And thou, this hath been thy manner from thy youth. Did you ever, guys, ever want to hear? You never want to hear. You never want to pay attention. And therefore, you're going to grow up and you didn't learn. You didn't get anything. Aha. Now, therefore, verse 21, this has been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. You never, never listen. Never listen. Wow. Now, and then verse 22. The wind shall eat up all thy pastures, shepherds, and thy lovers, all the things you're hoping and trusting in to make your life a little more better and make it work out. And all of those things are going to disappoint. None of it's going to be successful. None of it's going to be glorious and glorious and glorious and better and better and better. No, it doesn't get that way. We get older, weaker, and wearier. It doesn't go that way. Life doesn't go that way. But we're dreamers. We're somehow I'm going to overcome. Well, that's what this is all about. God and Jerusalem and the people in Israel, they think yes, that's the way it is. And no matter how bad it looks, no matter how what it is, it's just not going to be. So therefore, the wind shall eat up all thy pastures and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. All of it, all of it. Wow, wow. O inhabitants of Lebanon, verse 22, that maketh thy nest in the cedars. Remember, we shared the cedars. That's what Jehoiakim did. He had all the big trees from Lebanon, the Lebanon cedar trees, and he had the streets like you've seen some cities where they have all those trees lining down, and you go through, and as you go to Jerusalem, here's the grand, glorious thing that he's done, and all of it is his to beautify for himself. And he did that, cedars. And the cedars are going to be used by Nebuchadnezzar to burn the city. Now, and thus, verse 23, O inhabitant of Lebanon, that makest thy nest in the cedars, how gracious shalt thou be when thy pangs, sorrow, heartache, headache, come upon thee, the pain of it is a woman in travail. What are you going to do when that all collapses? Using the illustration, here's the cedar trees, and up in the cedar trees is the grand eagle's nest. Wonderful eagle's nest. Proudly up there, and then the eagle sits way up in the nest in the tree, and then the tree's cut down and used for other things. Israel, you are proud like the eagle, resting in the cedar trees, and it's all going to come down. It's all going to collapse. Now, have you got that far? So far. Now, and to go a little further, there's two things here. I can't do them both, but you get a little that are very helpful. Verse 24. As I live, saith the Lord, though Koinoniah, now that's Jehoiachin that follows him, he's the son of Jehoiakim. We can't do that right now, but as I live, saith the Lord, though Jehoiakim, the son of Jehoiachin, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet I would pluck thee off from thee. No matter how precious it would be to me, I have to get rid of it. I have to do this. You have to do it. God, I do. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. and people are going to go there. That isn't what God had in mind. But if you're going to reject me and follow suit with the devil, you're going to end up in the same place. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. The best thing love can do is hell for a person. Now, remember, they live. They can't die. Where am I going to put them? In God's holy heaven. Where are you going to put them? See, you understand that. Now, in the light of that little bit. So looking. If you would. Now, over, please, to get the flavor of this. If you were a Jew, if you were Jeremiah in particular, and a Jew in the Jeremiah's time, what would you know that you are a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What would you know? How could you not know about Abraham as a Jew? Now, having said that, you remember that Abraham, God, you took Abraham out of idolatry. He was in the family of idolaters. He was in the middle of idolatry. And he looked to God, and God saved him. Idolatry is everywhere. Joshua will tell us that's where Abraham came from. Now, Abraham, what did you do that was so wonderful? You looked, Genesis 15, you know. I looked up, said Abraham. I looked up to the skies, and God gave me a wonderful promise about the future, about my family, about everything. And I looked up to the sky, and I believed God who made all those stars. And God counted it to me for righteousness. What did you do, Abraham? I believed God. I believed. I had faith. Watch. Over, if you would, please. Oh, to Romans. Easier to quickly to see it. To remind yourself. Because. What do you know? Well, you'll see it. I'll say it. Then read it. Romans chapter 4. Picking up if I can. Romans 4 and in verse 3. But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, you earn something, you deserve something, and you should be recognized for your wonderful whatever you did. But, when it's of grace, God gets all the credits. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, what did you do in Genesis 15? I believed God, and he said to me, I count that as righteous for you. You're going to look to me by faith. Faith means I got to leave self and everything about me for something or someone outside of you, outside of me. Faith, have faith in God. Abraham had exhibited faith. He exhibited faith coming out of idolatry. And he believed God and all his friends. Lot wasn't going to encourage him. None of his father-in-law, none of them are going to encourage him. Who's going to encourage Abraham? Abraham's going to encourage himself and look to God. And he did in a most wonderful way. Now, and God counted that for righteousness. That's right. You believe that I am who I am, and I'm going to go and impute that to you. You have faith on this side. You have faith. Well, you have faith in God. I'm going to count that, Abraham, because you're looking to me, trusting me, I'm going to count that as righteous. I'm going to count that. I impute it to you. I reckon it. I calculate it to your account. You believe me, and I give you due recognition for honoring me. And that's why Abraham's faith. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter now about, hey, well, let me do it now. The cups are there. Now, over, if you would please, to Galatians, so you see it. In Galatians chapter 3, may I pick up the thought, please? In chapter 3, I'm going to start, in verse 5. Verse 5. He therefore, Galatians 3, 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? It's by faith. Even what? I mean, here's Galatians, and here's way back here with Abraham. Abraham, you're going to use him. God, aren't you? I sure am. And I'm going to help everybody the rest of their life understand. Do you understand about Abraham? Abraham believed me, went against all odds, against all obstacles, against all opponents. He believed me. Wasn't Job? Aha. But Job isn't coming out of idolatry. This fellow, Abraham, was smack dab in the middle of it. Now, therefore, chapter 3, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same, are the children of Abraham. So God, you're going to give something. Israel, Jerusalem, are you guys paying attention? Abraham, turn to God. Have faith in God. But they aren't doing it. They could do it. It's an ongoing, wonderful word. Without faith, God will tell you, and you know all these things, Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it's what? It's impossible to please me. You're going to take Abraham and single him out. Absolutely. I want you to understand, have the faith like Abraham did. Well, what about my little faith? No, have it like he did. He totally looked to me, abandoning himself, and looked for me to be everything. And I counted to him for righteousness. Now, picking up again, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Uh-huh. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And that's Genesis 12, 1, 2, 3, all about the blessing and the cursing. That's right. All centered in Abraham. Verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I want you to be able to enjoy who I am, said God, and you're going to have faith just like he did. He's the grand example. A whole lot of people believed. But I chose him to be the example. Now, hang on. And sliding over, if I can, to verse 16. Now, Abraham and his seed, were the promises made. He saith not to the seeds in the plural, as of many, but as of one. What do you mean? One seed? That's right. The seed. Even, in verse 16. One seed, but of thy seed, which is Christ. It's a seed singular. You mean to tell me, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. What do you mean? And here's all those seeds. Oh, no. You'll need that in a bit here if I can get to it. All those seeds. No, it was one seed. One little seed going to go all the way down the line. And that's Christ. I have the whole history outworked of Israel and everything. And I want you to know, born in Bethlehem of Judea, he's going to be born. And I have a nation, Israel. I have a wonderful nation. That's, oh, they got problems. And you'll see the seriousness of them. Wow. And the impossibility. Except you have to understand that in God's wonderful promise, Genesis 3:15, he promised the seed, even our Lord Jesus Christ, who must be born of a woman in Bethlehem of Judea. It has to be. Wow. So God, here's all of everything by faith. What are we doing then, God? How are we to understand whatever part of history we live in? What are we to understand? We need to look to you, God. Obviously, we need to look to you and have faith. In what? In you. In what you do. Israel wasn't. The nations don't do it. Nebuchadnezzar would be an exception as a person, is going to look to you after his trial and test. Wow. Now, so sliding over, if I can, in while you're here in Galatians 3, sliding over, I guess, to pick up the thought in verse 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer a schoolmaster. Remember, the law kept him in jail like a jailer to keep him in check, which is what they did, until the Christ came. Christ came, and he's the what? Romans 10, he's the end of the law. For what? He's the end of the law for righteousness. And God, you're going to keep them, even though it's all over the place. Ah, God said, it's all going to come. I told Abraham, you believe, I'm going to count it for righteousness. And everyone that has faith in me, I'm going to do that. I didn't ask them for anything about themselves or their works or their background or their IQ. No, no, no. All of that is going to fall short and fail like the lovers. They're all going to fail. All the things we hope will work out wonderful only for a moment, and they're all gone. Now, so therefore, Galatians and chapter 5, picking up if I can, verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, Jew or Gentile, but faith, which worketh by love. Ye, verse 7, ye did run well, who? No, I know, you're all stuck, aren't you? No, my page turned. I don't know why it turned. So, we'll start again. Count to 10. Take a deep breath. Now, Galatians chapter 3, and if I can, in verse 26. 3 and 26. 4, ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized, placed into, immersed into Christ, have put on Christ. And verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's what we've been trying to drive home. You're unique. The being a believer in the body is the most unique thing in forever. And you want to practice it. Don't jump all over the place. Verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, you believe in me, I'm going to count it for righteousness. Well, that's what you're going to do, God. That's right. Now, there they are. They have all of that wonderful, wonderful Abraham. Did any of you Jews, is anyone thinking, why do we want to go like Abraham? I can have faith in any old way. No. You want to have faith like Abraham, total commitment to who I am, period, total. There's nothing left of you to trust in. You don't trust yourself. You reckon yourself dead. Wow. Wow. Now, and, hanging on to that. Now, in the light of that, then we have Abraham and faith. So faith is there. Uh-huh. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And in Mark chapter 11, Mac, you may want to turn that just to exercise. Mark chapter 11, wonderful statement. In Mark chapter 11, our Lord says it ever so wonderfully. Without reading all the context, chapter 11, and in verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, simple, have faith in God. What can we do? Believe me. John chapter 6. Believe me. No, why don't you just do what I told you? We don't want, remember we read it in Jeremiah 22. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to hear. Prophet after prophet, year after year, king after king, all evil, all going, never good. What? And each generation grew up and died. And does anyone care? Wow. So now, secondly, at least, we'll at least try. We share together about David. Did they know about David? By the way, all four of them, are children in the line of David. They all belong to David's line. Interesting. They're all flunkies, but they're all in David's line. Every one of them. Could you guys know? Did you guys realize that David, you're the children of David. David is your grandfather. Are you guys understand that? No. Does it mean anything to you? No. And therefore, we share together that Solomon, his son, remember, without turning there now, Solomon, his son, went, and he knew his father. He said, I don't have the faith of David. I'm not like my father. But God, I got to load the Jerusalem, the Israel. But God, you're going to have to do, because I can't do it. And that's why God blessed him, giving him knowledge like no other person on the face of the earth. And God's a rewarder. Think of Hebrews 11:6. God is a rewarder of them what? That diligently seek him. Does it pay to put God in the right place? Absolutely. How many ever find it out? Never get that far. Wow. Now, so here's Solomon. But Solomon, what do we know about Solomon? Well, he had everything going for him for 40 years, and he got tied up in the idolatry and everything. And it is said in 1 Samuel 11 and that he was not of the heart and mind of David, his father. He never had that. He wasn't like David. What do you mean, David? We're all the children of David. And you weigh everybody. All these kings are weighed by a standard. The standard is David. The standard for faith, Abraham. The standard for mercy, David. He's the standard for mercy. And we started that last time and all of that. Now, David, what do we know? In the process, David, we shared together, had a heart for God. He had an awesome heart for God. That's why he killed lions and bears and Goliaths. He had a heart for God. He had a few sheep. He didn't have anything to brag about or be pompous about. No, he just was going to look to God. Thank you, God, like Abraham. Wow. Now, so here's David, and he had a heart for God. Not only how much of a heart did he have, he had a heart for God so much so that he knew, here's the temple, here's the tabernacle, remember, think of Joshua, up there in Shiloh, and the temple and the tabernacle, by the way, the Philistines, gets destroyed, etc. And so there's the ark, they still have that. The Philistines took the ark, destroying the temple, tabernacle. They did that, but they couldn't touch the ark. Every place they brought, remember the plague and the mice and everything? And every place they tried to bring the ark made it miserable for everyone that lived there. So they moved it to the next city, and finally they took it out and brought it out to a house out there. And in the process, it stayed there. Now, David, what did you do? You knew, a little boy, you grew up to be king. What did you know? The ark doesn't belong in a tent, doesn't belong in that fellow's house. It doesn't belong there. God, Deuteronomy, God, you have a wonderful place for it, and that place is in Jerusalem, and it doesn't belong there. And God, what do you want, David? I want to honor you and glorify you and build the house where you are to be forever in all of human history until there's a new heaven and a new earth, Jerusalem. And that's what he wanted. Over to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And picking up, if I may. In 2 Samuel chapter 7. So David, you're looking and you're looking. I am, said David. Now, so here we are in 1 Samuel. This is now about, as you know, the covenants. This is called, as you know, the Davidic covenant. A covenant, God made one with Abraham. God made one with David. And this is the covenant that God made, contract. David didn't ask for it. God just did it. He just did it. That's what he did on the cross, the covenant of the cross. He just died for you. You didn't ask him to die. You didn't even understand it. God just did it. He just went and did it. Now, so here's 2 Samuel 7. Wonderfully, got to quit in the process. And in verse 5, Go, Nathan, and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, saith, thou build me an house forever for me to dwell in. Verse 6, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even unto this day, but I have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. All those are temporary tents, tabernacles. What is a temple? That's what it's about. That's right. And David said, I know that's what it's about, God. You need to have your wonderful position, your wonderful place. And you know what? David is a marked man. And thus, David, what are you going to tell us? I want the world to know to have faith like Abraham. All the way down the history, here we are. I want the world to know of the mercies of David all the way down the line. That's what I want to know. The mercies of David. Now, hang on. We'll have to get it quickly. We aren't going to go very far, but a little, a wonderful little. Verse 13. And he shall build an house for my name. This is Solomon's going to do that. A son of David, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's what God's going to do. Throne of his kingdom forever. Now, sliding down in verse 15, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Verse 16, thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now, what did you promise, David? I promise you a house. You want me to have a house in Jerusalem. And I am going to honor you, David, and take your house and make your house last forever. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do. I told you, I always honor. Always honor myself, said God. Wow. Now, therefore, David, are you... The temple going to Jerusalem is one thing by Solomon. But for God to tell little old David, whose heart... And David's looking out for God. He doesn't care about David. He just cares about God. That's wonderful. And so does God care about David. And God is going to take, and God is going to take in the line of David, all these evil kings, they're going to disappear. But you have made a commitment that I will honor you, David, until the millennium. You can count on it. I'm going to build you a house, a throne, a throne. We shared together, remember, I got to quit. Remember, we shared last time in Luke 18 and that. And the man with blind man, was blind. And he said, who's that out there that's talking? And they told him. And then he cried with a loud voice, thou son of David, be what? Be merciful to me. Because they knew, we're going to do that, so you see it. Wow. Now, so therefore, David, what is your response? Is we can believe God? Absolutely. We can count it. Think of the, without jumping ahead there, think of Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5. In the, here's the Ten Commandments, and God's going to judge the third and fourth generation, and I'm going to go and show mercy to 1,000 generations. Mercy. Mercy. And David, if anyone took advantage of it, you did. You looked to me to be a merciful, great God, and you allowed me to be God, and you had made me the center of your life. Therefore, chapter 7, David's wonderful response, and I hope you get the little thing in closing. Chapter 7, verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto this far? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Do people do this? Never. No one can even consider it. But God, you can. And it's a small thing. God? Wow. And sliding all the way, wonderful, wonderful, verse 29. The end. David, he was all excited that God would do all of that for him. And you need to be, and I need to be, all excited of what God would do for us right now. By faith. Counting on what? His mercy. Verse 29. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. God, bless me that it might be a blessing to you. Wow. God said, I found a man, mercy, who knew my mercy, who received my mercy. He didn't look for anything. He merited it. He deserved it. He was a good guy. His opinions are nice. All of that belonged on the cross. ultimately. No, David found only one thing. God was awesome, awesome, awesome. The king's aunt, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, no, no, no. Zedekiah, no, no, no. Wow. Anyway, hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome thing. The reality of time and death and deterioration and everything you're counting on is going to come to an end, including your body, including everything you got, your children, your everything, going to come to an end. Wow. Wow. Blessed, precious in the sight of the Lord God. Thank you.